We begin a new series today looking at the parables of Jesus. Parables was one of the ways that Jesus taught frequently. He used stories. We often use stories to teach and stories in different ways, and parables are a kind of story, although as we go through them, we'll realize there are all kinds of different parables. Some are long narrative stories, and some of the ones are very famous, like the Good Samaritan or the Prodigal Son. And others are these little short stories, almost little sayings. But it was a way that Jesus used to communicate truth. But what we realize as we read these things is sometimes those parables didn't necessarily make things clearer. Sometimes those parables didn't make things easier to understand. In fact, sometimes when Jesus told a story, it made it a little bit harder. Sometimes it was that the story itself was hard to understand, but oftentimes it was simply the story made sense. There was a perfectly logical, you could grasp the story and say, oh, I see what I'm supposed to do. But sometimes it's the doing part of it that becomes the hard part. And so we're going to begin today with the story that we saw on the video. Read that particular version was from Mark chapter 4, but it actually appears in three of the four Gospels. So we have these four Gospels. Gospels are the stories, the books of the Bible that tell the story of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in each one of those is a little bit different, a different approach to them. But the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, have a lot of similarities, a lot of crossover. And sometimes in biblical studies are referred to as the synoptic Gospels. And John, if you've read that Gospel, is very different. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very similar, have a lot of similar stories, similar things that happen. And in particular, one of those is this parable, the parable of the sower, which occurs in all three of those three Gospels. And it shows up, and it's the story that Jesus tells. But I want us to look at what that story is, because it really gets behind why Jesus spoke in parables, but also us beginning to understand parables. And so if you have your Bible, I invite you, we're going to look at Mark chapter 4. And so if you have your Bible, you can turn there to Mark chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, there's some underneath the seat backs in front of you. It's on page 709 in that Bible, Mark chapter 4. And if you don't have a Bible at home, take the Bible that's under the seat, take it home with you. But Mark chapter 4. And so Jesus is teaching his followers here. And he begins to teach. And he says he taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And so he starts off talking to this group of people, most of whom would have been at least somewhat familiar with how farming worked. They were an agrarian society, so he used stories that were familiar to them. He didn't tell them stories of faraway places or magical things, but he used stories of everyday life, of people in debt, of farmers, of birds in the field, of all these sorts of things. And so he tells this story of a farmer who goes out to sow his seed. But he begins telling the story, and he doesn't really set the story up. He doesn't say, here's what I'm going to tell you, or here's why I'm teaching this story. He simply tells a story. He says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, and they would simply sometimes reach in this bag, and they would throw their seed. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And I can imagine if you were sitting there, if you were a first century Palestinian Jew and you're sitting and listening to this story, you would say, yep, that's what happens. There's some seed, it falls in the path, it doesn't sink into the ground, and birds love to eat seeds. As any of you who have a garden know, birds are one of your nemesis. They're the things that keep your garden from growing. So the people would say, yep, yeah, I get that. And they said some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. And everybody sat in the audience and said, yep, exactly, that's what happens. Some soil isn't real good. And if you're familiar with soil around here, we've got a lot of sandy soil and the roots don't go down real well. And so sometimes the same thing happens. And then it says other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so they did not bear grain. How many people have weeds in their garden? How many of you don't have weeds in your garden? You can teach me the secret of this. But so there's these weeds, they thorns, these things grow up and they choke out the good plants. And everybody sitting there would have said, yep, that's exactly what happens. And then he says, still other seed fell on good soil. And it came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. And everybody sitting in the crowd would have nodded their head and said, yep, that's how it works. And then Jesus said, Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. At which point, afterwards, his disciples say, Teacher, what in the world are you talking about? We all know how to farm. We all know how seeds grow. But is that really what your message was? I mean, is that why you brought us here? Is that why you gathered us all around to teach us this important lesson? To tell us what we already knew? That seed on hard ground and seed in the thorns and seed in shallow soil doesn't grow? And then Jesus said them something interesting. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. So he begins to tell them, this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. And then there's this strange thing. So that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. And he's alluding to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Now, it's not an exact quote. In all three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, use slightly different versions of it. And at first glance, you might read that and say, is Jesus really saying that he teaches in parables so nobody will understand? Because that's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like, is Jesus is deliberately being obscure. That he's telling these parables so that people won't get it. And one early preacher in the church, a man named John Chrysostom, said, well, if Jesus didn't want people to understand, there would have been a much simpler way to do that. Not say anything. So what in the world is he getting at with these? And so these are a couple of those verses in the Gospels. There's always those little places, and these probably fall in the top 10 of, like, what in the world does this mean? Why in the world did Jesus say that? The best I understand is what Jesus is alluding to is this idea of what was going on Isaiah's day, of God was speaking and the people were refusing to listen. And so Jesus is getting at the message, or the central point of his message, is that when you hear God's word, you need to respond to it in some way. And when you don't respond, there are consequences to it. And so he's trying to get the people, remind them of the story of Isaiah, and he's saying, we have a responsibility. And so part of what Jesus does with parables is he engages the listener. He says, you have to take some part in this learning. I'm not going to spoon feed you and tell you every single thing, but I'm going to offer you stories because I want you to think about it. I want you to mull it over. I want you to understand it. And then I want you to do something with it. Because sometimes we get those lessons, and I don't know what it's like for you, but if you're simply told this is how you do something and you're given the three steps, sometimes you remember that, sometimes you don't. But what if you have to think through it for yourself, and then you have to work it out, and then you actually do it? Which kind of thing do you usually remember better? Something you've had to work through and something you've done. And I think this is what Jesus is getting at. He's saying, I'm teaching in parables because what I want is I want you to stop and I want you to really listen. Because if I just told you a simple thing and said, here's the four spiritual truths I want you to know, people would kind of nod their heads and walk away. But instead, I'm going to give it to you in a story. One, because the stories can sometimes help you remember a little better. But two, because the stories will make you think about it, will challenge you a little bit. It'll make you come around. So he says, here's what it is. And so what happens is, as you begin to understand that, as you begin to understand that there's a little bit of mystery, it will make more sense. But if you don't get that this is about the kingdom of God, nothing is going to make sense. He says, I'm telling you stories about the kingdom of God. I'm not telling you stories about farming. I'm telling you stories about what God and his kingdom are like. And if you get that, if you start with that, then things will begin to make sense. But if you don't get that, it's not going to make sense. And so even next week, we're going to look at more stories of the kingdom. And what we're going to find out about the kingdom of God is that it's very different than what people expected. Because Jesus came on the scene, and here's what's happening. Jesus comes, and the people have an idea. They have an expectation. They have a picture in their head of what a Messiah will look like. That God has promised them for thousands of years that a Messiah, that a rescuer will come. And they have a picture of what that looks like in their head. And then Jesus comes on the scene, and time after time after time, he flips their expectations. He hangs out with the wrong kind of people. He does irreligious things. He talks about
the words of the Torah, these things they teach. And he says, well, yeah, that's what it said, but I want to tell you a little bit more. I want to expand on it. He says, I've come to fulfill these things. He talks about power, and he says, power isn't by the sword, but it's by dying to self. And he teaches all these things, and he kind of turns things upside down. And then he tells this story about the soil. And so then these disciples come, and they say, we want to understand, Lord. And so he explains it to them. He says, the farmer sows the word. And so he's saying, I'm not talking about seeds. I'm talking about the word. I'm talking about a message. I'm talking about a proclamation. So we begin to think, oh, he's not talking about a farmer. He's talking about, well, who sows the word? Well, it's God. So God is sowing this word. And sometimes in parables, we can look and we can draw one-to-one between every part of the parable. But some parts of the parable, they're just little bonuses. They're little coloring. They're things that add to the story, but not necessarily mean anything. But here we learn that the farmer is God, and farmer sows the word, the message. And so it can be understood different ways, but the word is essentially the message of the gospel of the kingdom, the message of the good news of Jesus. Might also think of it for us today as the Bible. We might also think of it simply as Jesus, but God is scattering, is sowing Jesus, is proclaiming this message to people. And he says, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes the word that was sown in them. And so what we start to learn as Jesus explains this parable, he doesn't explain all the parables, but as he explains this one, we begin to realize that we often refer to it, and some of your Bibles may have a little header on it, says what? The parable of the sower. But the parable doesn't really talk a whole lot about the sower. What does the parable talk a whole lot about? The soil. And so really we could call this the parable of the soils. He says there's four types of soils. And that Bible reading video we saw was a great illustration of that. So he says first is some falls on the rocky ground, or some falls on the path and is eaten up by birds. In other words, the message comes, but we remain untouched by God's word. We remain untouched by the message. It never really sinks past the surface. And so we begin to think, what does that look like for a person when they hear the message? And because this is less a message about other people, and in some sense it's really a message for us to say, what kind of soil are we? How do we respond? Because the point of the parables, Jesus isn't telling a story just to entertain. He's not going around just to say, hey, this is a really neat story. I wanted you to hear it and people clap at the end. But he's telling a story with intent. With an intent for people to change. And he's saying, here's something, and I want you to think about the kind of soil. How do you respond to God's message? Do you simply let it sit on the surface, or do you let it soak in? Because if you just let it sit on the surface, if you just kind of hear it, and it sits on the surface, what happens? The birds come, and they take it away. Or as he describes it, Satan comes and takes it away. But so do we ponder the truths we already know? And so what does that look like for us as we hear the message of Jesus? Sometimes what it looks like is we're convinced we already know the truth. We're convinced we already know what the Bible says about something. One of the things I learned in seminary was what the Bible teaches about everything. About 6 months into seminary, what I realized was I don't know a whole lot about what the Bible says about anything. And one of the things I've learned over 20 plus years of ministry is the things I believed and was absolutely convinced of 20 years ago that the Bible taught, I'm not so sure about some of those anymore. I'm not talking about things like Jesus being the Son of God or his death for our sins, but other things that when we grow up and sometimes we hear a message, we hear it again and again, and it can be simple things about the way we treat other people. It can be verses we think are in the Bible. You know, God helps those who help themselves, which isn't in the Bible, by the way. But there's all these things that sometimes we grow up and we're absolutely convinced of. And so we go and we open our Bible, we go to hear from God, and it never sinks in because we believe we already know the truth. And what Jesus is saying is, we got to be open to it. We have to be open to change and new ideas. And now I'm not saying that we're open to everything has to change and all the old ideas go out. But if we go every time to our Bible, or if any time we hear a preacher or a pastor or a friend of ours or a Bible study, or we listen to something and they say something different than we're used to hearing, and our immediate response is, nope, that's not right. Do we stop and take the time and say, well, wait a minute, what does God say about that? Because what I've discovered for myself and with others is I've met people, and I know I've been that person myself, who say, well, that's what the Bible says. And then someone will say to me, so where does it say that? And then all of a sudden it's like, well, it's, yeah, it's here. Well, wait, no. It's in this place, and we don't know where it is. In fact, the early covenant church, the evangelical covenant church, one of the early leaders of that, a man named Waldenstrom, that was one of the key things that started the denomination that we're a part of now, because there was a teaching about the death of Jesus, about how it had changed the heart of God. And Waldenstrom stopped and said, where is that written? And everybody said, well, it's... And he said, yeah, no, that's not what it ever says. It says there's a change in us, but does it ever say there's a change in the heart of God? And so he asked that question, and so that's the question we need to be asking is, do we let the message of God sink into us? So one of the ways we can do that is when we read our Bibles is approach the Bible with an expectation that God will speak to us. Not with a lazy attitude that God will grow something no matter what we give, but an openness and a willingness to change and to be changed. And it may not be a change in our belief, but it may be a change in the way we behave, a change in who we are, to welcome it. Are we interested in what the Bible has to say and not just the bizarre parts of it? Because if you were here last week, we talked about Ezekiel, and there's some bizarre stuff in the Bible. There's some weird stuff, but there's a lot of stuff. And are we interested in what God has to say to us? Are we interested in the message of Jesus? Are we truly wondering what he's like? Because if we're not, then we're that hard soil. It's like, oh yeah, I just want to keep that on the surface. I don't really want to know much about it. I know just enough. And so Jesus doesn't teach us here how to not be the bad soil. He just kind of describes the soils. But so we're trying to understand, what is he saying? He says, are we interested in what God has to say? Are we allowing it to sink in? Are we open to change? And then he goes on, he says, others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And so he said, sometimes we're those kind of people who hear the good news and we think it's all good news. And we receive it with joy and this message that God loves us. And you heard the kids talking about it. And it's one of the central messages of the Bible, is that God loves us as we are, and he enters into our life, and Jesus comes and he dies for our sins and he forgives us. And that's a message to receive with joy. We say, yeah, well, I love that message. But then what happens when all of a sudden life gets a little bit harder? And Axel talked about how they learned at Portage Lake about people around the world who worship in basements, and because there are places in the world where we're not free to worship, where people are not free to worship, where they can go to prison simply or be executed simply for possessing a Bible. I mean, many of us have a stack of Bibles around our house. Some of them don't even. But he's saying there are places. And so Jesus is saying some of us receive the message with joy, but then when a little bit of a hard time comes along, we're not sure what to do with it. And so the solution to that, to avoid becoming that kind of soil, is to be deeply rooted in the story, to realize that God is for us, and to realize that part of following Jesus involves difficulties and challenges. One of Jesus' primary teaching to his followers was, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. He says, you will have trouble in this world. You will be persecuted. But sometimes we don't like to hear that part of the message. We just want a message that says, oh, God loves me as I am, and everything's good, and there's unicorns and rainbows, and it's great. But we need to know that whole story to recognize and to be rooted in that story, to know that part of following Jesus, part of the message of Jesus, involves suffering. It involves denying ourselves. In other words, it involves denying some of those things we want to do, that we have desires, that we have wishes, we have ways that we think we want to live. We have desires about the way we want to do things. And the message of following Jesus, it doesn't always like that. But sometimes we need to deny those things. And then he describes some other seed. He said, still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and take the word, making it unfruitful. In other words, there are all these other voices in life that choke out what God wants us to hear sometimes. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is the primary means for our truth and formation? And sometimes we have to do some weeding in our life. I talked earlier about weeding, and for most, well, for some gardeners, some gardeners really enjoy the weeding part. But I think most don't really enjoy the weeding part. And it's the same in our lives. There are these other things in our life that sometimes can choke out what God wants to do in our life. And if we see the story here, we realize, what does God want from our lives? He wants us to grow and to be fruitful. But sometimes there are all these other things that can choke that out, that can choke it up. What sort of things? Electronics, right? I mean, to realize that we can be lost in meaninglessness, that we can sit and all of a sudden realize we've spent an entire Saturday binge-watching the latest show, or we've been scrolling through Facebook, or we've been doing whatever, and there are the, or we just get worried about things, or we're chasing after trying to earn the next big job. And all these things can choke out and begin to take away from what God is wanting to do in our lives. And so sometimes what we need to do is weed out and say, where are these things coming from? And some of it's, where are all these other, what are the messages we're hearing? And so as we watch television, as we read books, as we listen to the radio, as we read news stories, what are the messages that are coming into our heads and filling our heads? And is one of the primary messages what God has to say about who we are and what the world is like? Or are there all kinds of other messages that are coming in? Because you realize that all those other messages, all those other things that you're hearing infect and affect you. There's an election coming up, a long ways away. But it feels like it's already been going for a long time. And if you read anything about it, if you watch the television, if you listen to things about it, my guess is you will find yourself affected and infected by the messages you hear. And what you will find is, what I find is maybe, I get angry all the time. I'm just mad about everything. Because nothing seems right. I begin to question lots of things. I begin to wonder and I begin to doubt. And that's not the message God is inviting us to. God is not inviting us to be angry about every little thing. And part of what I need to do then, for me, is to weed out some of that. So do I really need to listen to all those stories? Do I need to follow every one of those things? If after every time I watch the news, I just find myself gritting my teeth and maybe what we need to do is pull the weeds, right? Pull the cord and say, I don't need to watch that anymore. I don't need to hear that message. Or whatever it is, it may be a television show that glorifies violence. It may be a book that you're reading that takes your mind to places where it should not be. But to say, what are those things that are beginning to choke out life with God? And sometimes I need to pull the weeds. I need to do some weeding. But then he says there's this good soil. He said other seed, like seed on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. In other words, they hear it with faith, and they intend to obey. And so what Jesus is getting at is, this is what God invites us to do, is to hear what he has to say, but then to put it into practice. To hear what God is saying to us, and then to begin to put it in practice. So if the message is, love your neighbor as you love yourself, say, okay. And it's one thing to walk away and say, well, that's just a great thought. I'm gonna turn that into a pin and I'm gonna put it up on my wall. I'm gonna make a t-shirt that says, love my neighbor. But what Jesus is saying is, don't just make a t-shirt out of it. Don't put it on a bumper sticker. But find a way to put it into practice. Because God's desire with this message of Jesus isn't simply that it's on our bumper sticker, but that it's producing a fruit, that it's somehow affecting the way we live. And so as you read your Bible, as you hear from God, you're coming to the Word, you're coming to what God has to say to us, and you say, what am I going to do with it? How am I going to put it into practice? And so Jesus tells this story, and then he says, this is what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Whoever has will be given. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. He says, here's this message of the good news of Jesus. And that's really the central message, the gospel of the kingdom, that God is coming to set the world right, that the world has chosen its own way and its own path. The message of the gospel of the kingdom is God is coming to make things right, and he's coming to make things right in the person of Jesus Christ, through his message, through his teaching, and ultimately through his death on the cross and his resurrection. God is making all things new. This is the message of the gospel of the kingdom. And he's putting it in, he's saying, now what will you do with that message? Will you let it sink into your heart? Will you let your heart and your life and your mind and your body be good soil where that message sinks in and it produces fruit in your life? Where it produces the kind of fruit where people are loving their neighbors. I want you to imagine for a minute what a church would look like where people were receiving that message, where people were honest consistently, where people were using their money for the good of their neighbors, where people were looking at politics and thinking about the ways to care for others and not simply to elevate themselves. All the different ways that our lives could be shaped if we let the message of the gospel of the kingdom sink into our hearts. That's what God is inviting us to do. He's saying, you don't have to come up with the message. I've got the message. What I want you to do is to simply open your hearts to receive that message, to clear out the weeds, to take it in and make it deep soil, and allow it to sink deep in through the power of the Spirit so that your life can be fruitful. And so God gives us this message. And so our challenge is to say, will we receive and will we hear that message? Will we hear the incredible good news of Jesus Christ? Will we allow it to sink into our hearts? Will we receive it and allow it to grow and to affect us and to change the world around us? What kind of soil are we? Let's do a soil check. Say, what kind of soil am I? And how can God help me become a good soil so that I can bear the fruit that God wants me to bear? Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the message of the kingdom, that you sent your son Jesus, and that he came to bring life and life to the full. And God, we know that sometimes our hearts are hard. Sometimes our lives are filled with weeds. God, we pray that you would work through your Spirit to change us, to make us who you want us to be, so that we might be good soil that bears fruit for you and for your kingdom. We ask this all through the power of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus.